Thank you. So we are 7 weeks past Christmas. It's been a really good Epiphany season. That's the season that we've been in these weeks between Christmas and now. We've been considering this question: what does it mean to us that God came into the world? What was revealed to us, and how has it changed the way that we relate to God? The Epiphany sermon series was called Aha Moments, right? Epiphany, like, oh, wow, I never thought about that. What are those aha moments that have been revealed to you in the last several weeks? I want to risk a little bit this morning. We value risk here at Lake Buren. It's one of our core values. We're doing pretty good at it, I think. I'd like to risk a little bit this morning in service and create a space for us to share together what we have learned in this season. Now, there are some visitors here, and that's awesome. We're glad that you're here. But for those of us that have been, and we hope that you'll kind of enter into this space of conversation that we're going to try to create a little bit here. But for those of us that have been, and I don't take attendance, just so that you know, but for those of us that have been kind of hanging around here on Sundays, I want to go back a little bit. And so could we get that slide up, John, please? I hope you can see this. And I'm going to do just a very brief overview of where we've been. I think because I'm the preacher, in my mind, it's really clear what we're doing. I just don't know how well that's communicated to those of us that are sitting out there. And so this is your chance. You're invited into this space of conversation just for a little bit. The first week, the sermon was called Go Another Way, and it came from Mark 2, Mark chapter 2. This was this passage is about when the wise men went to see the baby, who after seeing Christ and experiencing what it was that they experienced, the passage says, and they left another way. There was something about their encounter with Jesus that caused them to go another way, right? Herod was waiting for them to come back and tell him what was going on. And their experience with the baby caused them to actually go another way. And so the epiphany, the aha moment that I suggested that Sunday was, in your experience with Christ in your life, have you gone another way? In the way that you think, in the way that you treat your neighbor, what is it that God, and if you haven't, and I think this is an ongoing journey, there are many times in our life where the Spirit of God is calling us to go another way. The second week, P.K. Thompson was here, and he talked about Asenath and Hagar, women who are unlikely that God used powerfully, both in the biblical narrative and in our own lives. And so he shaped that sermon around the aha moment that God uses unlikely people. And he tied that really well to the Me Too movement, right? Women speaking out, unlikely women who were oppressed and who've been suffering, that in this story, God uses to actually, in he said this on that Sunday, Hagar, right? And we know who she was. She's actually the first person to name God. You are the God who sees. The first person in Scripture to name God, you are the God who sees, was a woman who, in culturally, she was kind of pushed to the side. So that was the aha moment in that sermon. Who are the people? What are the experiences where we see and God is revealed to us through unlikely people? Week three, now is the time, or time is now. And this came from Mark chapter 1. And Jesus was beginning to gather his disciples. The words, the thing that I kind of, the impression that I wanted to leave that Sunday was this idea that when Jesus called the disciples and said, the kingdom of God has come, the time is now, repent and believe. And we spent some time that morning talking about this word repent, which is a bad translation of the word that actually is there. The word that is there is metanoia. When we think of repent, we think about behavior, but metanoia is about the way that we think. It's about changing your mind. It's about a change in the way that you think. Change the way you think now, and now believe and think in this direction of the good news. In these last weeks, how has your mind been changed? Has it been changed Or do we just come here and hear good things and go back and still think the way that we think? If our minds are not transformed by the good news, something is wrong. If it doesn't change us, there's a challenge there. And then this is just, you know, habit. Sunday mornings is just habit. Week 4, what is this? This is a fun sermon. Jesus casting out the demon in the person, the man that was in the synagogue. And people are like, what is this? What is going on here? First of all, how is there a demon in the synagogue, in the place of worship, right? And the image that I was pulling out of that sermon was this. How do you respond to the gospel when it challenges things that are deeply embedded and core in your beliefs that needs to be cast out? That needs to be cast out. What are the things in the way that you see life and that you hold, that you are holding on so strongly to, that it actually becomes a demon in your life and in the life of the community, and it needs to be cast out? Okay? Jesus enters those places and the spaces where no one else is willing to go, confronting evil. What are the demons that possess us, the ways of thinking that are not right? What are the places in our community where we need to be willing to confront and stand against evil? What are those voices that are counter God? Those voices that are counter God that need to be rooted out. And then last week, gathered at the door, this was a sermon about Jesus healing. So Jesus went right from the synagogue over to Simon's house and healed Simon's mother-in-law from a fever. And I drew the parallel from that between Jesus sort of coming next to her, holding her hand, taking her hand in his, raising her up, the language is raising her up, kind of beginning to foreshadow the resurrection, right? Lifting us up, healing her, and then releasing her to service. She got up and she served those that were around them, around her. Jesus touched her, healed her hand, lifted her up, healed her to service. Healed her, lifted her up, resurrected her, healed her to her true vocation, which is service. Whether we know it or not, and this is a very appropriate Sunday for the Boy Scouts, because you and I are created to serve one another. You and I are created to serve one another. So some of us need to be lifted up, walked alongside, lifted up, and then released into service so you can find your vocation in life. I've said this before. If you don't know what your life is about, I want to offer this. It's about serve somebody. It's about serving someone. So that was a quick flyby of the last several weeks. And now I want to invite you, and we'll just do this for a little bit of time, to share with your family, your community. And this is why I don't like pews, because you're all looking at me. You all need to be looking at each other. Okay? So what is the epiphany? What has stirred in your heart in these last 5 weeks? And Rod, would you take this around? Can we get this mic on?
Test, test. Thank you.
Do I have a brave soul out there? Crystal, is that you? Okay. Could you say your name, please?
Yeah, my name's Ben. Hi, everybody. Good morning. I was moved by the sense of being willing to confront the messiness from the "What is this?" message, and being vulnerable is just hard, right? So being able to address, like, I don't have it all together, and being able to, even in, like, sometimes sacred space is a space where we feel like we can't share that. Like, I need to have it all together because I'm sitting in church next to you guys, instead of maybe I'm the one who's actually needing to be confronted. Or something about me as the one who needs, I need to have something confronted in the space, and that's messy, and I don't want to share. I'd rather just be neat, and I'll just, like, see you guys. So that was humbling and comforting to me, and being willing to be vulnerable in this space, as well as, like, you know what, if stuff needs to happen here, I just want to flow with spirit and let it happen here, and do the same outside of these walls, too. So just be willing to go with it and embrace awkward when it happens and love people. So thanks for leading that conversation, and that was moving and inspiring.
Thank you, Ben.
Who's next?
Anyone else?
Introduce yourself, please.
I'm Peggy Meyer. Hi.
When I was challenged to think about this, it really came to me that I am constantly receiving little epiphanies, practically every day, just in encounters with people, and little pieces of conversation, or something I read, or something I see, or a situation I find myself in. And how I know that I'm being spoken to is that it catches me, and it relates to maybe something I'm working on in my spiritual life. And every once in a while, it's like an aha moment. Mostly, it's little moments of and it, I really see how it speaks to me and does change me, gives me a little wider vision, cleans a little bit more dirt off my windshield, and allows me to see people differently and work to how do I relate to them in a little different way than I did, but also how I see myself and how I treat myself.
Thank you.
And I'm grateful.
Anybody else?
Hey, I'm Marty Sparks, and for me, Go Another Way was a big thing, right? And for that, it's about don't compromise your values, be disruptive in a positive way, and to be all right with going another way, challenge the status quo. And those are things that are, I think, beliefs for me, and so it's always good just to hear how I can align with that in my heart and take this out, the church out in the world with me.
Thank you, Marty. Any others? Anyone else? Right here. Oh, Charity.
I'm closer to her.
I'm Charity. The one that stuck out for me was metanoia. I feel like in our culture that we say I'm sorry and we think things go away and we're not changing our behavior and we're not thinking about how we're impacting others and we're not looking at ourselves as the ones who caused the problem. Oops, sorry, you're sensitive. Oops, sorry, this. I think a lot of it is influenced by corporate litigation. When they're found to be bad, they throw money at a problem, they say sorry, and it goes away, right? So that should work for the rest of us. And I think metanoia turns that on its head and asks us to look at ourselves and think about our actions and what we've done and to make the change there.
Thanks, Charity. And Melinda.
Hi, Melinda Mackey O'Brien. For me, Gathered at the Door, I was amazed by and took into my heart the whole we are raised to service. And you can take somebody's hand literally and figuratively and raise them up, give them hope, and set them and yourself onto service. That was good. Thank you.
Thank you, Melinda. You know, one of the thank you all that did that, and we are going to continue to try to do a little bit more of this building together our what we know together, how we live together. This gathered at the door, this gathered at the door image continues to kind of swirl around in my mind, because what happened after Jesus held her hand and lifted her up and raised her up, and she was then going to serve. Everybody was so excited about that they gathered at the door. And I put the question out there, what would it be like if our witness was so strong in terms of how we walk with one another, hold each other's hands, how well we are involved in the healing of each other through God's Spirit, how we're raised up together, and then how we serve. That there's something very compelling about that people want, they're breaking down, busting out down the doors, figuratively, but, I mean, literally, but then figuratively, what would that look like to have an imagination that says, whatever God is doing in the church and whatever God is doing in this place is so compelling that people are like, I want to know what's going on in there. And so that's the challenge that remains before us as a community of faith. How do we live out what we know and all the things that we've talked about in such a way that it calls us all out to service and that somehow just doing that, we don't have to do anything else. You don't have to force this onto people because they will see and their hearts will be drawn. Amen? So this passage this morning, I'm going to just spend a few minutes. Why I wanted to do that is because on Wednesday we begin Lent. We begin our journey with Christ to the cross, but not before this thing happens here in this passage that was read to us this morning, that Jesus was transfigured before the disciples that was there. And just quickly, I wrestled with this. What is the difference between transformation and transfiguration? Transfiguration is the spooky word. At least it sounds kind of spooky, right? Transformation is when something has changed. Transformation means something has changed. Transfiguration is when something has been revealed for who or what it really is. Amen? Transformation was something changes from one thing to another, and transfiguration is when something has been revealed for what it really is, or who it really is in terms of what happened here. Jesus was transfigured before the disciples, and they saw Jesus for who he really was, and it was so bright and brilliant. To see Jesus, and we have these glimpses of transfiguration where something is so good that you actually, I've had it, just for a glimpse, and you want to grab onto it, and you can't. But it is so bright. This is what is defined as the glory of God, that we continue to see a little bit more, and then it kind of goes away. But that revelation, this experience is meant to stay with us. And I think why this is important because of where it's planted in this story is it's right at the very beginning of Jesus beginning to turn his eyes from the community and to the cross. There's something about this experience that had to happen before Jesus could actually begin the journey to the cross, because in the next however many weeks, this is going to be an exciting and hopefully for you and for me a serious time of reflecting on what it means that God has called us all into a Lenten season, a season of reflection, a season of asking questions of ourselves, and a season of understanding what is this notion of sacrifice and service. Amen? How is it that God, all of us believers, those of us that are believers here in what, you know, those of us that kind of say, yes, I believe, I'm committed, I'm trying to do this following Jesus thing, you and I are called to sacrifice something. We're actually called to surrender our entire lives into this thing called a relationship with God. Jesus is seen for who he really is, and we have seen glimpses of this in the last. This is why we tried to lay out Epiphany as well as we could, is because we wanted to sort of get our hearts and our minds around this idea that you have seen Jesus. You have seen Jesus revealed, and I want you to hold on to that and also be ready to kind of move now into this season of deep reflection and quiet and listening. This passage says a couple things that I want to point out. A voice from heaven says to Jesus, this is my son. The last time that we heard that was at the beginning at Jesus' baptism, when the voice from heaven came down and said to Jesus, you are my son. I'm excited about you. In this story, the second time that we hear that son language, the voice is saying, he knows who he is. Do you all know who he is? This is my son. People, we can't walk this out if we don't know Jesus. And a lot of people try to do that. They try to be good. But I guess I want to just say there's a way that God has intended for us to walk this out, and it starts with a look at Christ, God incarnate, the God who became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. This is my son. That message is for all of us sitting around. The next time that we hear this son language is at the cross. Surely he is the son. So this is affirmation of these kinds, the identity of Jesus. What is our identity as the body of Christ? Right? Surely you are the body of Christ. Surely. Surely you are the body of Christ. Would people say that? Would people actually say that? Well, surely they're the body of Christ. And we're just a slice of the body. We're not the big C church, right? This is a challenge in our country today and in the world. I think people are saying, surely that is not. There's no way that God is like that. What is the compelling image that we see in our minds, that we imagine, and that we see Jesus living out here in these passages. The phrase says, "This is my son, listen. This is my son, listen to him." This is the only time in Mark where the language is directive and it's in the spirit of a commandment. It's the only place in Mark. So it must be pretty important. God is saying, listen. And so in the weeks to come, here's what we're going to do. We're going to listen. We're going to deeply listen. And I'm going to invite you to take this very soberly and seriously for the sake of our own relationship with God. But more than that, for the sake of a community of people that is hungry and starving for some good news. That's what we're called to do. We're called to reflect as a community of faith, to gather, not just for your sake, not just for us to have a good feeling, but we gather for the sake of those who are, quote unquote, not yet. That's why we're here. We gather for our sake, yes. And this is something that in my own growing up in church that I never was really, and I grew up in church. I was in church every single Sunday since I was a baby. I can tell you that I can't remember very many messages that challenged me to think about my relationship to God apart from what it does for me, but that I'm connected to a community of faith that is called and gathered on behalf of those who are not yet, don't know this good news, don't know this love. Amen? And so that's what we're going to be talking about. So God says, listen to him. I found a funny quote. Igor Stravinsky said, "To listen is an effort, and just to hear is no merit. A duck also hears." Right? This is where my sermon title came from. Even ducks have ears. Right? Do you have ears to not just hear, but ears to listen, which gives us direction in our lives and actually then moves to some kind of action? And so that's the journey that we're on beginning Wednesday night. Lent is about this listening. It's about allowing ourselves to listen well. We're going to try to create space for listening in our services. Let me just give you some highlights so that you're not surprised. In our service, we're going to have opportunities to share with one another. We're going to be reflecting on two questions. Who has sacrificed for me? And then how am I called to sacrifice for others? Who has sacrificed for me? All of us in this room are here because someone sacrificed something for us. And I want to connect that to us so that we really understand this notion of sacrifice. Who has sacrificed for me? And now, how is God calling us to sacrifice and to surrender on behalf of our families, on behalf of our marriages, on behalf of our community, on behalf of our neighbors? What is God asking from us in this season? Every Sunday, there will be someone from the congregation that is going to share a story about this. So I'm trying to really kind of lead us in this direction of reflection and listening. Jesus was validated again on his transfiguration. Surely this is the Son of God. And we see him for who he truly is. The truest essence, all of his glory. Fully alive. Fully alive. So blinding that we can't even take it for more than just a couple seconds. God affirms Jesus again, "This is my son," and adds, "Listen to him." Will you, in the next weeks to come, beginning on Wednesday night at our Lenten service, a commitment to listening to God in this season? Amen.